Over a series of the last few weeks, I believe beginning on April the 26th, I have been talking about rewards, talking about crowns. And very quickly, I want to go through them in preparation for what I wish to share this morning. And so I will give you a bit of an introduction. Crowns are hinted at in the Old Testament in Malachi, and I'd like for you to look there with me. You say, where is Malachi? Well, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Now, if you look at it and it looks like Malachi to you, you found it. We normally pronounce it Malachi, but it could be pronounced Malachi because it's spelt that way as well. But I would like for you to look into chapter 3 and down at verse 16. I have a little heading in my Bible between verse 16 and 15, and it says, the rewards of the book of remembrance. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Did you know that God is paying attention to our conversations? God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we're saying to one another. And God is recording in a positive way those comments that we make to each other to encourage one another in the most holy faith. When we talk about Jesus to one another, God writes that down. When you and I witness and try to lead somebody to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God writes that down. When you and I try to teach and instruct someone, maybe a child, when we work in Awana, or we work in Sunday school, or we work in a Christian camp and we are trying to bring boys and girls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God records that in His book of remembrance. When we teach our children the way they ought to live and the way they ought to go, when we talk to them about Jesus, God writes that down in His book of remembrance. Verse 17 goes on to say, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make up my, what's the next word? Jewels. Now the word jewel there means a special treasure. On the day that I make up my special treasures, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall go again, or you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Now, with that in mind, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read the passage this morning, and if you have my kind of Bible, it's on page 1346, but I don't know too many people that have a Bible exactly like mine in church today, so you'll find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I noted something as we read this morning. Actually, I'd noticed it before, and I underlined these words. Starting at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one, look at that phrase, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then we come down to verse 10 towards the end. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And then verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. Verse 13. Each one's work will become manifest. Verse 14, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, what was I emphasizing? Each one, anyone, his. I'm emphasizing the words which talk about personal responsibility. God is not talking here collectively. He's talking individually to each of us. God wants each of us to understand we have a responsibility to seek to do His work. Each one of us will be rewarded according to the work that we have done. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. We were just in 1 Corinthians. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I taught this whole chapter back a couple of weeks ago to our seasoned saints on Thursday morning over a period of time. But I want this morning for us to focus on verse 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all, there goes that individual responsibility, but collectively in that word, but down a little bit further in that verse, it says, each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is not talking about earning our way into heaven. Salvation comes to us through Jesus Christ. But once we are a child of God, then God takes account of everything that you and I do. And He says, each one according to what you have done. And so we talked about that for just a little bit as we talked about the crowns. And I put them up on the board again so that you may see them. We have gone through these things before, I realize. And we talked about the incorruptible crown, as opposed to the kind of chintzy crowns that were given for the Olympics in the old days, when the Olympics were first started in the days of the Apostle Paul. There it was a laurel wreath. Or today you can get one if you go to Burger King. They will give you a little cardboard one or paper one, and you can wear your crown, but it's not worth much, is it? But this, God is giving to us an incorruptible crown. And this incorruptible crown is given for those who run the race of life properly. You all know that there are some people who claim to be Christians, and they don't act like it, they don't live like it, and even though they maintain uphill and down, yes, I'm a Christian, they don't prove it. And James tells us that faith without works is what? Dead. Enough said for that. The second crown that we looked at was the crown of rejoicing. And we said that this was the soul winner's crown. We gave you a couple of illustrations about crowns. Queen of England's imperial state crown has 3,000 diamonds and 300 jewels. The King of England's imperial crown has 6,000 diamonds. Don't you have a hard time comprehending how you can put all of that jewelry on one crown? I've never seen a picture of it, and so it's hard for me to picture something like that. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see this last statement. We read over there in Malachi chapter 3 that God is putting together His jewels, His precious treasures. And someone has suggested that perhaps we get one jewel in our crown for each person that we win to Jesus Christ. Some of you have never won a person to Jesus Christ. You haven't even tried. To which I not only will say shame on you, but secondly, let's get with it. There are tracks by this front door. There are tracks by that side door out there. Take some. You say, I don't even know what to do with them. You hand them to somebody. And if you have to do it on the sly, do it on the sly. Tuck it in when you pay your electric bill or the telephone bill or whatever bills you pay every month. Put a track in there along with your check. Now, if you're paying it late, don't put the track in. Pay it on time to put the track in. Pay your taxes early and have a witness in that way as well. So there's that crown. Then there was the crown of righteousness, which those who are thinking about heaven are going to get. Do you think about Christ's return every day? Are you looking for the return of Jesus every day? You're going to get a reward for that. Did you know that? You get a reward for that. Then we looked at the crown of life. And the crown of life are for those who have endured testings, temptations, and trials. And I'm talking about over a period of time. And I don't know any Christian who has not gone through some testings, some tribulations, and some trials. We all do. Now, how you handle that determines whether you get a reward or not. Do you understand that? It is determined by how you handle your testings, your trials, your temptations, your troubles. Remember the four T's. And I maintain the Greek word can be used in either way to translate those. Then we talked last week about the crown of glory, which goes to Christian workers, to pastors, to teachers, to Christian workers. Now you say, well, what if I'm a missionary nurse? Great. Be one. What if I'm a missionary builder like our missionaries, the Ganungs? Are they serving the Lord? They certainly are. There are a lot of people serving the Lord that you don't even notice. They do it quietly, but they do it faithfully. God is recording all of this in the book of remembrance, remember? And then there's the crown of gold, which apparently, now I know that this is argumentative, but apparently we all will receive if we are truly born again and we get to heaven. When you get to glory, you'll receive a crown. Now, you know, you old-timers, that there used to be a song in the hymn book. It's not in the hymn books that we have. But there was a song in the hymn book when I was a kid that said, will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in that city of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? That's a very good question to be asking. Now, all of this is introductory to what I want to share this morning. I want to talk this morning about when will you receive your reward? When will you receive your reward? Our rewards are waiting, but when and how do we receive them? I want to look at a couple of more verses that have to do with crowns and with rewards. And so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I emphasized the fact that each one. I did that because I want to remind you, you are not going to be rewarded with what your wife does, or what your husband does, or what your children do, or what your parents do. What they do is what they will be rewarded for. What you do is what you will be rewarded for. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are the qualifications? And it says here, let each one, verse 10, take heed how he builds on it. Now, it likens the Christian life to building on a building. And while you may have built a house by yourself, that's probably doubtful. In most cases, there are others who work with you. If you move into a house that's already built, let me tell you who worked on it. Somebody put a foundation in the ground. But before that was done, somebody had to grade the ground and dig that hole to put that foundation in. That usually required 8 or 10 different people. And then once that foundation is in, then somebody came along and laid the deck on it. And then a gang of guys began to put up the walls. Now, once the walls are up and once the sheeting is on the outside of the building, then the rafters or the trusses, depending on whichever form of building you have, are set on top of the walls. And then that is sheeted, and then the shingles is laid on top of that, and now the building is somewhat buttoned up, as they say. Now you get the guys in who do all the electrical work, and the guys who come in and they do the plumbing work. And then the people who come in and insulate it all. And then they sheetrock all of it. And then they finish the sheetrock off, called perfotaping and plastering and so forth. And then somebody paints it all. And someone does the kitchen. And someone does the floors. Oh, I forgot. Somebody had put in all the windows, right? All of a sudden you realize that to have the house that you are now living in required an awful lot of labor by a whole lot of people. Now, Jesus, in this passage, or Paul, if you choose to go with the human author, Jesus is obviously the one who inspired him to write this. But Paul wrote this down. Look what he says. He says in verse 8, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building," and we're going to talk about the building, "according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it." In the Christian life, you might be likened to the guys who framed the house. In the Christian life, maybe you're likened to the guy who put the sheathing on the roof and then put the shingles on it with all of the trim and so forth that goes around the edging of the roof. In the Christian life, you may be likened to the guys who do the electrical work. Or you may be likened to the guys who do the plumbing work. Oh, and I forgot, there needs to be somebody who puts in the septic system. Or if you live in a city, who connect your new house to the city sewage. All of that requires workers. And in the spiritual life, there are all kinds of jobs that God wants you and I involved in for His glory and for His good. And if you and I are faithful in whatever area God has put you, and that's what I want you to understand, God put you somewhere. The Christian life is not lived on Sunday morning in church. That's where we come to be refreshed, to go out and do the job. The job is what you do outside the doors of this church building. You see, you are the church. The building is just a building. We call it the church. We call it the house of God. We may call it a synagogue or whatever terminology someone wants to use. But you are the church. The church is you. You who know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so out the door you go, now you're on the mission field. In fact, if you go out the front door, the sign over the front door says that. You are now entering the mission field. Somebody wisely gave us that sign many years ago, and I have made sure it stays up there. At least it was the last I knew. You're now entering the mission field. And so there are qualifications, and the qualification is this. Verse 12, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone." Now you say, wait a minute. I've seen lots of buildings go up I never saw anybody build a building with gold, silver, and precious stone. They usually use wood or steel or a combination of both. Well, in the spiritual life, in the Christian life, what you and I do in our daily life for Jesus Christ 7 days a week amounts either to gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. Wood, hay, straw. Now, we all know what that is. We are very much aware of what these things are. And so, notice that there comes a day when God is going to give a reckoning. And everything that you and I have done in our Christian life is going to be stacked in a heap in front of Jesus. And He's going to light His eternal match and go poof. And everything you and I have done is going to go up in smoke. And then God is going to dig through the ashes with His fingers and pick out gold and silver and jewels. And we're going to get a reward for those things. The rest is gone, turned to ash. The wood, hay, stubble went up in smoke. Now, it's for those things that we're going to get a reward. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. And I just want to remind you of the place of our rewards. Where are we going to get our rewards? We talked about how, but where? It says we must all appear, verse 10, before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, many of you have heard me say this, but some of you I know have not. So I'm going to say it again. Do not confuse this judgment seat with the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. Two entirely different things, separated by 1,007 years. They have entirely different purposes. This judgment seat, I want you to think of in terms of the Olympics. When the race has been done and it's decided who gold, silver, and bronze is, that in other words, first, second, and third, they are brought where? To a podium. It's called a podium. You remember that that podium has three heights. They put the gold winner up on the top one. They put the silver winner on the middle one. They put the bronze winner on the shorter one. That is the picture that I want you to see that is here. The judgment seat of Christ is where we are judged on our works and where we are rewarded for our works. When will that take place? Well, we're going to get there in just a few moments. Turn with me to Philippians 4 and verse 5. We are literally going to work our way to the back of the Bible quickly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. There's two ways to look at that phrase, the Lord is at hand. Number one, that He's right there beside you watching everything that's going on. By the way, that's true. That's true. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that God sees everything we do. He hears everything we say. And He knows everything we think. Ay, ay, ay. Scary thought, isn't it? That's why you have to go to 1 John 1:9 and confess your sins every day. The things that you just did that day, the things you thought, the things you said. Billy Graham said you committed them one by one, you have to confess them one by one. Another way to look at it is the minute that you realize you just did something you shouldn't have done, said something you shouldn't have said, thought something you shouldn't have thought, right then confess it, get it over with, get it cleansed. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, wouldn't you like to to go to these three Revelation passages. So let's go there. Revelation 2:10. Somehow let's back up to that one. Revelation 2:10. I want to get you into Revelation. I have 5 minutes. I believe that Revelation 2:10 and some other places say that this is going to happen after we are caught up to heaven. After the rapture, in other words. Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Now, this is the letter to Smyrna. Smyrna is related to myrrh. Myrrh was a bitter herb. Suffering is a bitter thing that happens in our life. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 7 days. Prophetically, that had to do with the seven dynasties of Rome, the Roman Empire at that time, and the torture that they did to Christians. But then it says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. So, you're going to get your crown after you die. Or, verse 25, hold fast what you have till I come. That's the rapture. So, you're either going to get rewarded when you die, or you're going to go up in the rapture and you're going to get rewarded then. And we'll see that later on. Chapter 3, verse 11. It says, see that no one take your crown. So crowns are losable. What if you live the Christian life for about 25 years? And then you decide, forget it. You quit going to church, you quit reading your Bible, you quit living for Jesus, you start to live like the devil again. You're losing your salvation? No, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you're going to lose your rewards. They'll be burned up. But you're going to be saved as if by fire. In other words, you're going to be dragged through the fire and all the garbage washed off, but you'll make it into heaven. Why? Because you know Jesus Christ is Savior, but even though you don't act like it. So you can lose your rewards, according to 3:11. Now, two more passages. 19:12. Revelation 19:12. And I think 19:12 goes back to chapter 4 and verse 5 of Revelation. It says here, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. This is talking about Jesus Christ when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period. He is our example. And then 22, verse 10 and to 14. 22, the last chapter of the Bible, the last chapter of Revelation, starting at verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And last week I made that statement. This is in contrast to what he said to Daniel. In Daniel's last chapter, he said, seal up the book for a time in the future. Now in this book, he says, don't seal this book, but keep it open and let people read it because the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right or privilege to the tree of life. And many enter through the gate into the city. And then verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's you and me, the church, say come. And let him who hears say come. And let him who thirsts come. And who desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in the book. Verse 20, he who testifies of these things says, behold, surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.